little bit of an overview on some work that we've done in the past, and I'm delighted to see that NIOSH is moving forward in this direction of looking more at integration of occupational health and safety and worksite health promotion, and we're looking forward to seeing the body of evidence expand as we move forward, and I'm sure that Laura will be talking a little bit about some of the initial work that her group is doing in terms of expanding on this. But what I'd like to do is starting from what Cassandra has talked about, really think about the ways in which we can really benefit by the strengths of both of these disciplines in thinking about our shared mission around worker health. And I'd like to do that by talking about two example studies that we have done in our group over a period of time. The first I'd like to talk about is a study called WellWorks 2, where we focus particularly on integrating health promotion and occupational health and safety in large manufacturing businesses. And our particular question here was really this here as sort of stated in this hypothesis. What we were really trying to understand is, would we actually be able to see a benefit of an integrated program integrating occupational health and safety with health promotion over and above health promotion alone? So we had done a preliminary study prior to this where we'd actually explored a health promotion or an integrated program in comparison to a control condition, and we wanted to see what would happen if we actually did just a traditional standard health promotion program and compared that to an integrated program. So this is actually what we did within a randomized design. We had 15 large manufacturing companies working with us, and we did baseline assessments in all of those, which included surveys of workers as well as industrial hygiene walkthroughs within each of the companies to assess the potential for exposure to chemical hazards particularly. And then we conducted about a year and a half intervention in each of the companies and compared the differences in change over time. Particularly, we were interested in understanding whether there might have been change in the workers most likely to be exposed to hazards on the job. Our hypothesis, although we were stating our hypothesis in terms of overall change, we anticipated that the greatest change would be seen among blue-collar workers most likely to be exposed on the job. Our intervention comparison looked a little bit like this. So we took our standard health promotion program and followed what was traditionally being done in the field at that point in time, where our focus was pretty much exclusively on individual behaviors, although we were doing that at a focus on multiple levels of influence. So when we were looking at tobacco control, we incorporated tobacco control policies. But we didn't do anything in that first piece with occupational health and safety. Our integrated model really tried to look at both individual behaviors as well as the work environment. And this meant that when we offered, for example, a smoking cessation program, we incorporated information about the potential for exposures on the job and how those might have synergistic effects with the tobacco use that workers might be having. We also found that as we went into this, that our assumptions needed to change in terms of who had responsibility for worker health. So if we're promoting individual health behavior change, we're really looking at a model where the individual worker has primary responsibility for his or her health. Whereas when we're integrating occupational health and safety with health promotion, our assumptions change a little bit, and we really need to be thinking about a shared responsibility between worker and management, since obviously managers or owners have the primary responsibility for the potential for exposures on the job. It also changed our audience such that we really needed to work very closely with managers, with management in terms of the potential for these exposures, and also with the unions. And what we actually found in terms of providing some of our consultations to management is that actually incorporating the occupational health and safety piece gave us a little bit more access to management than if we were just talking about worker health behaviors alone. So just to give you a sense of some of our findings, this illustrates our findings for smoking cessation. and we compared them for hourly workers and for salaried workers, and we found that there was actually no statistically significant difference among salaried workers, that is, the more white-collar workers. This is not a difference, and although it was a little bit higher in the health promotion only group. Where we did see a statistically significant difference was in the integrated group, the difference between the integrated and the health promotion only group for hourly workers. And you can see here almost a doubling of an effect, such that our smoking cessation rates were comparable in blue collar workers who were employed in the work sites that received the integrated program compared to the salaried workers overall. Now, these quit rates are not for just those people who participated in any programs. They're really for all smokers within the work sites that were participating. So we looked at cessation rates across the board. We also looked at occupational health and safety changes, and although we didn't see any improvements in exposure protection in the two groups, we did see that the improvements that we saw were more likely to be source-focused in the integrated condition compared to more worker-focused in the health promotion-only condition, suggesting that our focus on the integrated approach really brought managers into thinking about the kinds of changes that they could actually make worksite-wide. We felt, however, that to really see a significant difference, we may need to have a little bit longer intervention period. But we did see some significant improvements in the occupational health and safety programs, particularly in terms of management commitment and employee participation. One of our colleagues, Graham Kolditz, actually did some follow-up work in relationship to this to try to see if we were to actually take this kind of a program and extend it Massachusetts-wide, what kind of an impact would we actually have? And so he calculated if we had about 700,000 blue-collar workers who participated at an 80% rate, that would give us about 200,000 smokers, and that if we actually saw the difference in cessation rates that we observed here, it would lead to nearly 3,000 lung cancer cases avoided. Just one indication of the potential efficacy and impact of a program like this if we were actually to address this. And I think what this points to is the importance of our beginning to think a little bit outside the box in terms of how we can begin to address the concerns of a large proportion of our workforce, that is blue-collar workers, service workers, lower-wage workers, who we see do have higher rates of tobacco use and also other health behaviors placing them at risk, and that many times those risk-related behaviors intersect with some of the exposures that they may be experiencing on the job. We followed this study up with a study where we wanted to look particularly at this model within small manufacturing businesses, particularly those employing ethnically and racially diverse workforces. And this study actually focused on multiple health behavior outcomes. We were focusing particularly on dietary outcomes as well as physical activity and potential for exposure to occupational hazards or chemical hazards particularly was a secondary outcome. We similarly used a randomized design, although here we had a minimal intervention condition and so really did not, we're not able to test the same kind of a question about the addition of health promotion over and above an integrated program. So we compared a comprehensive intervention that included the occupational health component with a more minimal intervention control group. Our businesses that participated in this employed between 50 and 150 workers. They were recruited to, among those that employed a multi-ethnic workforce. We actually delivered the intervention and conducted the survey in four languages, English, Spanish, Portuguese, and Vietnamese. So this was sort of a significant undertaking as I think back on it. And what we found overall is that the workers in the intervention sites made significant improvements in all of the health behaviors, although that made improvements, although we found significant improvements only for two areas, multivitamins and physical activity. But we did see that there were changes particularly for workers in management, for workers versus managers when we looked at fruit and vegetable intake, and similarly we saw greater improvements when we looked at the differences by race, ethnicity. as you can see here. So let me just sort of illustrate that briefly. We looked here at the differences between baseline and final for workers and managers when we compare control and intervention. Unfortunately, I don't have a little pointer, but you can see in the intervention group among workers, a high level of improvement in terms of fruit and vegetable consumption. In fact, 7.5 percentage points compared to a decrease actually among managers in the intervention group. We're not really sure what happened with the managers there. Another thing that we've looked at in both of these studies, and I'm only going to present it here, is in terms of the participation rates. And we actually looked at participation rates across a number of different activities, our sort of kickoff activities, which were really worksite-wide, and other kinds of worksite-wide events. These are particularly, we found, high levels of participation rate. We similarly looked at differences in participation rates in the other study where we were looking at the difference between the integrated group and the health promotion only group and saw again that the levels of participation were higher for the integrated group. So if we were to look then at a summary across these studies, we found overall that the integrated programs have led to improvements in health behavior changes, particularly for blue-collar workers, where we see risk factors, behavioral risk factors, particularly high. We also saw improvements in occupational health and safety programs and a trend in the direction toward improvements in potential for exposure, although we did think that that might take a little bit more time to actually see that difference. We saw enhanced participation rates, and I think particularly one of the messages that we think is getting across is that workers are hearing that managers are engaged in these programs, that they are also making changes, and that they may actually be more willing and able to participate when that is the case. And we see, based on some of the findings that I illustrated from the Colditz example, some potential for improved impact on long-term health outcomes. Where this has brought us is that where we're beginning to build a number of findings is around our efficacy and effectiveness studies, that is, individual studies that are telling us about the potential for an impact in terms of changes that these integrated programs might actually produce. Where we're now moving toward, I think, in the field is a sense of synthesis of our knowledge across these and other studies. And this type of synthesis is actually what we need to ultimately be able to move toward dissemination of these types of programs. We begin to see a range of efforts to actually synthesize the literature. The Institute of Medicine has done a wonderful job in a program or a report that was designed actually as a model program for NASA, focused on integrating employee health, that collected a range of studies and looked critically at these. The Centers for Disease Control is similarly looking at this. There's work being done at the Work Life Institute, the Work Life Initiative with NIOSH, and I thought that I would simply illustrate some of these recommendations that are coming out of this range of approaches for looking across studies, focusing particularly on characteristics of best practice programs that has come out of the Institute of Medicine. And you can see here that we really are moving from the point of saying we've got some real understanding that these types of programs are going to work to beginning to say what about these programs is going to work. And so as we move forward into the next generation of research, we can really begin to pinpoint more specifically how our approach to integrating occupational health and safety with health promotion might actually help us to think about differences from one type of workforce to another, from small to large companies, in different types of work settings, ranging from places where there are actual workplaces to larger places like, as Cassandra mentioned, we're doing some work with the transportation industry or construction, where workers do not have a single site that they actually may consistently be located with. So I think that the next conversations will really help us to further understand some of the potential new directions that we may be heading. So just in closing, I'd like to acknowledge my team of collaborators, these and others who have really contributed to our work in these areas. Thank you very much. I'll look forward to your questions later.